Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This is the 51st week of our look at the book of Genesis as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Genesis chapter number 35, we come to a section where, again, Jacob's life has been changed by meeting God once again. Jacob never lost his salvation, but he did get out of fellowship with God. We remember last week we looked in chapter number 34. Jacob had been in Shechem for about 10 years, and God had not intended Jacob to stay in Shechem. Remember, we looked at it last week. God told Jacob, now I want you to come to Bethel. I'm the God of Bethel. Get out of Haran, where Laban and all them were. Remember, we looked at that a couple weeks ago. Kyler, is there a ringing in this? I know that mics and all is kind of messing up our sound and all. But anyway, God wanted him to go to Bethel. Well, as Jacob was traveling, he looked at Shechem. Of course, he was at Succoth, and he went to Shechem, and he bought a piece of property, and it sure looked good. And we read where he literally turned his camp toward Shechem because it looked nice, the green pastures. Remember, we looked at it last week. There was a fella by the name of Lot. He turned his face toward Lot, and he camped, and it wasn't for long. He was in Lot, and then went long, he was of Lot. Well, that's what happened to Shechem. I mean, Jacob with Shechem, there 10 years, and what a tragedy that took place. We looked at chapter number 34. His daughter Dinah had been raped. They had all that murder, the lies, the deceits, all that in chapter number 34. And then we come to chapter number 35. The interesting thing. In Genesis chapter number 34, God is never mentioned one time. Interesting. Not mentioned one time in chapter number 34, but in chapter number 35, it begins, and God said unto Jacob. What's that telling us? Man, when you're away from God, terrible things happen. But God is also a forgiving God and a loving God. And we find God in chapter number 35 over and over and over again. As we go through this chapter, God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there. There. Get out of Shechem. You should never have been there in the first place. He said, now arise, go to Bethel, up to Bethel and dwell there and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother. Well, Bethel was where God wanted him, and now Jacob is going to go where God told him to go in the first place. Remember a fellow by the name of Jonah? Same thing happened to Jonah. God told Jonah, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. Well, Jonah said, I ain't going there, man. So he went down to Joppa to get him a one-way ticket to Tarshish, and God had other plans. You remember the story? Well, he wound up in Nineveh, and you see the great work of God there in that city. Well, when you find yourself in a place where God wants you, great things take place. And that's what happened here in the first verse. And God said unto Jacob, now I want you to rise. He's been there 10 years. Go to Bethel. And by the way, what does Bethel mean? The house of God. Okay? The house of God. Go there and dwell there and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother. Jacob had to leave Shechem and go to Bethel. We often end up in much difficulty and bring difficulty to those around us because we do not go where God has told us to go. And that's what happened to Jacob's family. And the only cure for worldliness, a great preacher said, is to separate from it. He had to get out of that place. It was a place of pagans, and you saw what had happened and an awful thing there. And God said, I want you to make an altar there, an altar there. Jacob was told to go back to Bethel and resume a life of worship. He left it. He had forgotten about it. And at Bethel, by the way, those were great memories there. Remember? It was where God had first spoke to Jacob. I won't go back. It was in Genesis chapter number 28. Remember, he separated his family. He's about to meet Esau. He'd separate his family. Then he spent all night wrestling with the Lord. He had that vision of the ladder up and down. We looked at that a few weeks ago, and that was a picture of Jesus. The only access to heaven is through Jesus, God's Son. He had that great great dream, so to speak. And then in chapter number 28, Jacob said this. When he waked out of his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." Remember when we were in that section of Scripture? Wrestling all night with the Lord. Surely God's here, but I knew it not. I've been reading a book. I want to share an excerpt from you because I recommend this book. He's not a Baptist. He wasn't a Baptist, but a great man of God, A.W. Tozier, The Pursuit of God. I've been reading some of the book, and he made this statement. If God is present at every point in space, and if we cannot go where he is not and cannot even conceive of a place where he is not, then why then is not that the presence had become one universally celebrated fact of the world? What he's saying, there's a lot in here, that God is everywhere. Do you believe that?
Amen.
He's everywhere. David said, there's no place I cannot go that he's not there. I ascend into the heavens, lo, he's there. I ascend into the grave, he is there. Well, he goes a little farther in his writing. Jacob saw a vision of God and cried out in wonder, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." Jacob had never been for one small division of moment of time outside that circle of God. God was always there. But the point Jacob made, I just didn't know it. He knew it not. That was his trouble, and it is our trouble. Men do not know that God is here. What a difference it would make if they knew God was here. As you read this book, The Pursuit of God, most people, even believers, think of God as some far off, somewhere way out there in heaven. No, God is with us now, present everywhere we go. We ought to pursue that. And probably the best thing in this book, and I want to take time to read it, is his preface. Did I say that right? Billy, I read your book. I'm going to get one of them books. I cheated and started looking through it before. And I said, is this thing worth it? It's worth getting. I'm going to read that book. You got a preface in that book. No, it's kind of a big something in there, kind of an introduction to what the book's all about. Listen to what he says in the preface about the pursuit of God. And this ties in with Jacob not knowing that God was there. I wonder how many people are going to attend church today and God is in this place and they're not even aware of it. This hunger, and the hunger that he's talking about here is the hunger for a deep desire of knowing God, God's people. That Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Well, the hunger must be recognized by our religious leaders. Current leaders have laid the altar and have divided the sacrifice into parts, but now seem satisfied to count the stones and rearrange the pieces on the altar, and never a care that there is not a sign of fire on the altar. Hope you know what he's saying. Got the altar, but there ain't no fire. No presence of God like it was at Mount Carmel. There is today no... Now, this is what hit. This is why I'm going to read it, because I was reading this again, and it was speaking to me. There's today no lack of Bible teachers to set forth correctly the principles of the doctrines of Christ. I believe we have the truth, don't you? Amen. I believe it. We have the truth. But too many of these seem satisfied to teach the fundamentals of the faith year after year, strangely unaware that in their ministry is no manifest presence nor anything unusual in their personal life. They're just teaching doctrine. But yet the presence of God is not seen.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. And visit us online at westwoodmbc.org to hear more great teaching like this. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.